In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder how many times in your life you've heard or used the phrase, "If you love me." It's a phrase that's most often used, whether in seriousness or jest, when one person is trying to convince another to do something he or she may be hesitant to do. The stuff of love and demands can be tricky emotional terrain, and we can feel caught between what we want and what the other is demanding of us. Yet this is how Jesus begins his exhortation for us to love one another. "If you love me," he says, "you will keep my commandment, which is to love one another. This is how you show your love for me." It's worth noting that this passage, rich and important as it is, begins and ends with love. And unlike other Gospels, where we're given various instructions about how to live, going the extra mile, turning the other cheek, in John's Gospel, Jesus gives us only one commandment, that we love one another. He says in the previous chapter to the one we just heard, "Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." For John's Jesus, how we treat those around us is the single greatest indicator of whether we are Jesus' disciples. Perhaps this isn't surprising in a text traditionally supposed to be written by the beloved disciple, and which has at its heart, perhaps more starkly than any other parts of Scripture, the fact that Jesus does everything out of love for the Father, including laying down his life for those his Father loves. In his Gospel, John makes it clear that we are to pay attention, to see, to recognize who Jesus is, and to believe. And if we do see, if we allow ourselves to get a sense of who this Jesus is and what he does for us, then we are bound to attend to his commandment to love one another. This is, of course, much easier said than done. But for those of you now conjuring up the names of people you dislike or you feel have slighted you, those with whom you've argued recently or long ago, in person or maybe just in your head, be they family, colleagues, Donald Trump, or anybody else, I have some good news for you. You do not have to like someone to love them. You do not have to agree with someone's point of view to love them. You do not have to feel attracted to someone in any way to love them. This love that we are called to exhibit, and we're called clearly, unambiguously, repeatedly, is not based on feeling. It's not necessarily born of affection, empathy, or the recognition of a kindred soul. The word used for love in this passage is agapate, and it's a present subjunctive which implies a continuing act. We continue to love. We do not love once for all, whether we claim to love Jesus or another person. And this particular word also implies demonstration. The love that Jesus is asking us to show is not based on sentiment, but on action. We're not being asked to develop warm, fuzzy feelings about others, but we're called to behave towards them in such a way that can be seen and experienced as loving. How can we know when we're following this commandment? One indicator is feeling really engaged, but also to some degree vulnerable. When we've stepped outside our own comfort zone for the sake of another, or for a cause that will benefit someone other than just ourselves. It can be scary, and arguably, if we're doing it properly, it nearly always is scary, but it's worth the risk. As many of you know, part of our stated mission here at Southwark Cathedral is to continue to grow, both as a community and as individuals, in radical love. This is the kind of love Jesus calls us to today. And although it's not without its cost, we can be confident in the fact that it is Jesus who has paid the ultimate price. This command to love will mean different things for each of us. Let us reflect today and throughout this week on what it might mean for us. But let's not stop at that, remembering that this is a call to action, not just feeling. Let us show our response to Jesus' command in some way. Do something, anything, to show your love and the love of Christ in the world. Write and thank someone for something they've done. Visit someone who doesn't normally get many visitors. Do some voluntary work with the Robes Project, at a food bank, in a charity shop. Write letters for Amnesty International. Become more politically aware and politically active. Increase your financial giving to church and to charity. Go out of your way to work with and for those you have previously found unlovely. People who aren't like you, who have less than you, who struggle in ways you can't possibly imagine. This is how we obey Jesus' commandment. This is how we follow him, become his disciples, and bring about the kingdom of God for which he laid down his life. And as we rejoice in the baptism of Sophie and Tuolola this morning, the two newest members of our church family, let us make sure that we show them, by our example, what Jesus' commandment to love one another can really look like in our world. Whenever a genuine, loving encounter occurs, whether a small token or a grand gesture, then we are caught up in the divine life of love, and we experience the Spirit that is promised by Jesus. And it's this Spirit, this paraclete or advocate, that allows us to feel Jesus' continuing presence with us, his unfailing and unconditional love for us. The Holy Spirit, which descended on Jesus at his baptism, and will descend a bit later on Tuolola and Sophie as they are baptized, bathing them in the peace, comfort, and love of God, is ours for the using. Like Jesus, the Holy Spirit deals in truth, and the truth will set us free, as he promised, because that truth ultimately is love. Love that is offered to us freely and abundantly for all eternity. So let us go forth from this place with the Holy Spirit as our inspiration and our guide to show and share this love with all God's people.